الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we begin now القاعدة الثالثة the third principle with regards to the purification of the soul and the rectification of the heart and that is منبع التزكية ومعينها القرآن الكريم القرآن الكريم that the source and the spring of تزكية meaning from where it flows and comes from is the noble Quran the source of purification that which clarifies the path and the means for that is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah azza wa jalla he mentioned in his Quran لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he mentioned in his book that indeed Allah he has bestowed a great blessing upon the believers whenever he has sent amongst them a messenger from themselves reciting to them his verses and purifying them. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ Reciting to them his verses, meaning from his book. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ And purifying them and teaching them the book and the wisdom. Meaning the Qur'an and the sunnah. And before that, they were in clear misguidance. Shaykh Abdul Razak, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى He mentions, فَأَعْظَمُ مَا تَسْكُ بِهِ النَّفْسُ الْقُرْآنَ الْكَرِيمُ So the greatest thing that the soul can be purified by way of is the noble Quran. الذي هو كتاب التزكية ومنبعها ومعينها ومصدرها which is the book of purification and its spring and its source. Its spring, and in referring again to this issue, like a spring that proceeds from a goodness, the purified water. But here meaning the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ فَمَنْ أَرَادَ لِنَفْسِهِ التَّزْكِيَةَ فَلْيَطْلُوبْهَا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ So whoever is hoping to have purification for his soul, then he should seek it in the book of Allah. And he seek guidance from that which is clarified in the book of Allah عَزَّ وَجَلْ This is the end of his statement. So the soul has to be purified. The heart has to be cleansed. And there are many things that would taint the heart and corrupt it. There are many diseases that come to the soul, weaken it, and taint it and stain it, bring great deficiency to one's faith. And the foundation of those diseases and those illnesses, they return back to two affairs. That is, الشبهات والشهوات. الشبهات المضلة. The doubts and misconceptions that are misleading and misguiding with regards to creed and belief, or methodology and manhaj. The doubts with regards to the religion, innovations and misunderstandings and concepts that are false and not proper nor correct. And likewise, الشهوات المحرمة, the lusts and desires that are impermissible, lowly and foul. These are the two great diseases that will afflict the heart and corrupt the soul. So a person, he has to purify his heart and his soul from these affairs, from every aspect. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He has sent down the cure. And that is in the beneficial knowledge that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and in the application of that. It has been collected by Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, He said, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ دَاءً إِلَّا أَنزَلَ لَهُ شِفَاءً That Allah, He did not send down any disease except for that He sent down along with it the cure. Also, it's been connected by Imam Muslim from the Hadith of Jabir. Radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لِكُلِ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٍ فَإِذَا أُسِيبَ دَوَاءُ الدَّاءِ بَرَاءَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ That every disease, it has a cure. So therefore, if the cure for that specific disease is used, then a person, he will be cured by the permission of Allah. Of Allah. And also it has been collected by Al-Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he said, مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ دَاءً إِلَّا قَدْ أَنزَلَ لَهُ شِفَاءٌ عَلِمَهُ مَنْ عَلِمَهُ وَجَهِلَهُ مَنْ جَهِلَهُ. That Allah, He did not send down any disease except for He sent down along with it the cure. Those who know it, they know it, and those who do not know it, they do not know it. So there's a cure for every disease. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned likewise that there is a cure for every disease except for al-haram, except for old age and death. There's no cure for this one. When a person, he reaches old age, at the end of his life, he cannot become young again. And whenever death approaches, there's no cure for that. وَخِيلَ مَنْ رَاقْ. And where is the one who can cure him? So other than that, from the diseases of the heart and the soul and the diseases of the body, likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal, He has revealed the cure. عَلِمَهُ مَنْ عَلِمَهُ وَجَهِلَهُ مَنْ جَهِلَهُ. Those who know it, they know it. And you mean those who Allah has favored them with this knowledge of this specific affair, then they know it. And those who do not know it, they do not know it. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, وَهَذَا يَعُمُّ أَدْوَاءَ الْقَلْبِ وَالْرُوحِ وَالْبَدْنِ وَأَدْوِيَتَهَا وَأَدْوِيَتَهَا. This here includes the diseases of the heart and the soul and the body, and likewise their cures. So there's no disease, not in the heart, not in the soul, not in the body, except that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has revealed and He has sent down a cure for that. He has sent down a cure for that. For this reason, the people of knowledge, they mention, أَعْظَمُ وَأَنْفَعُ مَا يُسْتَشْفَى بِهِ هُوَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The greatest thing and the most beneficial means of seeking a cure is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been narrated authentically by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that he mentioned, كَفَرَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُؤَانِ وَعَمِلَ بِمَا فِيهِ أَلَّا يَضِلَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَشْقَى فِي الْآخِرَةِ ثُمَّ تَلَى فَمَنِ اتَّبَأَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. He mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has promised for whoever recites the Qur'an and he applies that which is found therein, that he will not go astray in this life, and nor will he be miserable in the hereafter. And he'll be safe from the diseases of misguidance and from the diseases of doubts and misconceptions and innovations, and he'll be safe likewise and free from the diseases of the desires that are impermissible and the lusts that are haram and forbidden. He'll be safe from this affair. He will not go astray in this life, and nor will he be miserable in the hereafter. Takaffar Allah. And this is something that Allah has entrusted to Himself, meaning it's a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal. لِمَنْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنِ. For the one who reads the Qur'an. وَعَمِلَ بِمَا فِيهِ. He puts in application that which is found therein. So it's not sufficient just to recite the Qur'an, but rather one, he must recite it and apply it in his life. In this manner, he will find the cure. In this manner, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, he will find the cure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah, he mentions the meaning of which is, oh mankind, oh you people, and all of mankind, indeed, an admonition has come to you from your Lord, and a cure for that which is in the breasts, meaning the hearts, and a guidance and a mercy for those who believe. So the admonition has come. The admonition and the reminder, the clear clarification and the guidance has come in the revelation of the Qur'an. And likewise, along with that, the clarification, the detailed clarification of the Qur'an is found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the cure is in following the legislation, believing in the revelation and following the legislation diligently, faithfully, day in and day out, in public and in private, inwardly and outwardly. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَالْقُرْآنُ هُوَ الشِّفَاءُ التَّامُّ مِنْ جِمِيعِ الْأَدْوَاءِ الْقَلْبِيَّةِ وَالْبَدَنِيَّةِ وَأَدْوَاءِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That the Qur'an is a cure, a complete cure from all of the diseases of the body and the heart, and likewise of the diseases of this life and the hereafter. وَمَا كُلُّ أَحَدٍ يُؤَهَّلُ وَلَا يُوَفَّقُ لِاسْتِشْفَاءِ بِهِ. But not everybody is qualified nor given success to properly seek the cure by way of the Qur'an. To properly seek the cure and treatment, and to treat his own heart, or to treat his own soul, or his own body by way of the Qur'an. This is something that there's a means, an avenue, and a proper and a correct way. He's saying here, not everybody is qualified, or not everybody is given success to truly find the cure and the treatment in the book of Allah. He says, وَإِذَا أَحْسَنَ الْعَلِيُّ الْأَتَدَاوِيَ بِهِ وَوَضَعَهُ عَلَى دَائِهِ بِصِدْقٍ وَإِيمَانٍ وَقَبُولٍ تَامٍ وَاعْتِقَادٍ جَازِمٍ وَاسْتِفَاءٍ شُرُوطَهُ لَمْ يُقَوِّمْهُ الدَّاءُ أَبَدًا. He said, but if the person who is sick, again, sick in his heart, or sick in his soul, or sick in his body, if the person who is sick, he uses the Quran properly as a treatment to purify himself, and he puts the medication in its proper place with true, sincere faith, and accepting and complete acceptance, and to the decree and to the command of Allah, and with certain belief and certain creed, and he fulfills the conditions of that. Meaning again, this is going back to a type of invocation. A person, he's going to use the Quran to recite on himself, to cure himself, or he's going to ponder over those verses and to reflect upon them and take himself into account. It requires for his mind to be present and for his heart to be alive and to pay attention and to ponder, to reflect and to think deeply about the words of Allah Azza wa Jal in this manner, and bringing those conditions likewise for this affair to be accepted, that no disease will be able to stand in the face of the likes of this treatment. So a person, he must learn how to treat himself with the Qur'an. And the way to treat oneself with the Book of Allah from the diseases of the shubuhat and the shahawat is by pondering and reflecting over the Book of Allah. By reciting the Book of Allah and reflecting and pondering over it, and taking oneself to account. And the Fatiha is a cure for the body and diseases of the heart and diseases of the soul. And in the statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ is the cure for showing off and wanting to be seen, wanting to be heard. The person who recites that truthfully and he realizes and understands what it means, he will stop trying to show off and he will stop wanting to be heard with the deeds of the hereafter. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ is a cure for being self-amazed and being deceived with one's own actions and deeds, because he is confessing here, and you alone do we seek aid and help from. So it is Allah who has guided a person to do good. And any good that we have is by the grace and the help and the aid of Allah. So a person, he will realize that. He will realize that, and he will not be amazed with himself no more. Rather, he will be thankful and humble before Allah that it is Allah who guided him and aided him and gave him success to do the good that he's upon, to avoid the evil that he was facing and the hardship and difficulty. So, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah and the cure for shirk in every type and aspect. And وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ is the meaning of لَا حُولَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, and the means of curing the heart from الْعُجُبْ وَالْكِبْرِيَاءِ, from being self-amazed and being arrogant and being proud. Likewise, غَيْرُ الْمَقْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ is a cure for imitating the kuffar and loving what they're upon. One of our person, he reflects and ponders over this, that he's asking to not be like them, to not be like the Jews nor the Christians, those who are in the anger of Allah, or those who have gone astray in deviation. He's asking to not be like them. If he reflects and ponders over this affair, it will cure his heart, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, from imitating the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal and resembling them and acting like them. So there's a cure in the Quran for every disease, but a person, he has to reflect over these affairs. The one who has a problem with back body, for example, he'll recite the verses in Surah Al-Hujurat. The one who has a problem with these affairs and the likes like this, or with regards to, for example, being disobedient to his parents or rude to his parents, let him recite the verses with regards to the rights of the parents in Surah Al-Isra, or in Surah Al-Luqman, or in Surah Al-Ahqaf, and the likes like this, clarifying the rights of the parents and the status of the parents, and take himself to account with that sincerely and truthfully, hoping for the help from Allah Azza wa Jalla to benefit, then the admonition will go into his heart. The admonition will go into his heart, and it will benefit him, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and he'll be guided to repent, and his soul can become clean and pure by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. By the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْرُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. The meaning of this noble verse, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, those whom we have given them the book, meaning as a blessing and a favor, those whom we have given them a book, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ, they recited the true recitation. Those whom we have given the book, they recited the true recitation. These are the ones who truly believe in it. It is these who truly believe in it. So therefore, the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, it has to be recited properly. It has to be recited correctly. It has to be recited in right and in truth in order to truly benefit from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he mentioned about this noble verse, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. What does that mean? Reciting it, the true recitation, reciting the Qur'an, the true recitation, in the rightful recitation, he says, قَالَ يَتَّبِعُونَهُ حَقَّ اتِّبَاعِهِ. He said that means that they follow it in the true following. They follow it in the true and rightful manner of following. ثُمَّ قَرَأَ وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. And then he recited the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. And by the moon, whenever it follows the sun. He says, يَقُولُ اتَّبَعَهَا. Meaning it followed it. So the point of evidence here is that in this verse in Surah Shams, Allah is using this verb to clarify this affair. تَلَا يَتْرُ أُتْرُ تِلَاوَةً. Which here it means to follow. Which here it means to follow. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. أي تَلَا الشَّمْسِ. إِذَا تَلَاهَا أي اتَّبَعَهَا. Whenever the moon follows the sun. Allah is swearing by the moon, and whenever it follows the sun coming after it. Whenever it follows the sun coming after it. A clarification that this word at-tilawa, it has more than one meaning. Sometimes the word tilawa means qira'a, recitation. But from the original meaning is that it means to follow. And the one who is reciting, he's following up the words one after another. So this has the linguistic meaning in the word tilawa in the first place. So he's clarifying here that the meaning, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. They recited the true recitation. It's not simply reciting it with the tongue, but rather they're following that which is found therein. So possibly a person, he could recite it with the tongue precisely, with no mistakes. Not in the makhraj, the point of articulation, not in the harakat, in the arab, not in the manner of the tajweed, he can recite it precisely. But he's not following the Qur'an, and he's not reciting it in truth. He's not reciting it in truth. He's not, and possibly a person, maybe he will stutter with the Qur'an, and it's hard for him to recite, because he's a non-Arab, for example, or he hasn't learned the rules of tajweed, and he doesn't have a beautiful voice or recitation. It's hard for him. But what he knows from the limits of Allah in the Qur'an, he follows them in his life. And he implements them in his life. This person here, in this application, he's reciting the Qur'an. He's following the Qur'an, the true recitation. The true recitation. So this is something that's very important. The Qur'an, it must be implemented. It must be followed. And the greatest of that which is found in the Qur'an are the commandments and the prohibitions. The commandments and the prohibitions, the awamir and the nawahi, that they must be implemented in our lives. Implemented in our lives faithfully. Truthfully, sincerely, seeking the reward from Allah, believing in the law of Allah, and the legislation of Allah, and the halal and the haram of Allah, that is the path of Allah. And those who remain in those limits, they reach the pleasure of Allah. They reach the pleasure of Allah. So the one who recites the Quran and opposes the commandments, waliyadu billah, is just failure. This is failure, whether this is from hypocrisy. And the one who recites the book of Allah and he perpetrates the prohibitions, this is failure, and this is a mistake, this is error, and this is wrong and not proper. It's not the true recitation until he follows it and he applies it in his life. Until he follows it and he applies it in his life. The same meaning has also been narrated from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and from Mujahid and a number of the Salaf. And they have understood this verse in this manner. Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, hafidhuhullahu ta'ala, he mentioned, وَتِلَاوَةُ الْكِتَابِ حَقَّ تِلَاوَةً تَكُونُ بِكِرَاءَتِهِ وَحِفْظِهِ وَفَهْمِهِ وَتَدَبُّرِهِ وَالْعَمَلِ بِهِ. كَمَا فَصَّرَهُ بِذَلِكَ الصَّحَابَةُ وَتَابِعُونَ. He mentioned, حَفِظَهُ ta'ala, that reciting the book, the true recitation, this means that one, he will read it, and he will memorize it, and he will understand it, and he will ponder and reflect upon it, and he will apply it in his life. And he will apply it in his life. These are the steps. These are great keys of guidance and goodness to benefit from the book of Allah. A person, he has to read the book of Allah. He has to read it. He has to have time for reading the Qur'an. He has to have time for reciting the book of Allah. This requires for many of us first to learn how to pronounce the letters, to learn how to read the Arabic language, to learn the basic rules of tajweed so that the recitation is proper and correct. And learning tajweed is very important to recite the Quran to the best of one's ability and the manner it was revealed. وَرَتِّلْهُ تَرْتِيلًا. So to recite it in the best manner without going to extremes in this affair, this is very important. This is from the steps and means to benefit from the Qur'an. And whenever a person, he recites the Qur'an to the best of his ability as it was revealed, it's more rightful that it will go in his heart. Or the one who hears the Qur'an recited by somebody who recites it properly, without extremism or negligence, and it's flowing very well and he listens attentively, it will go in his heart. It will go in his heart, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and he will benefit. And he will benefit. So therefore, first he says you have to recite it. And then after that, also you have to memorize it. This is to have the complete benefit from the Qur'an, to recite it, and to memorize it, and to understand it. And to understand it, and to reflect upon it. And to reflect and ponder upon the verses in the book of Allah. to reflect and to ponder upon the verses in the Book of Allah, and then after that to implement that in one's life. To implement it in one's life. This one here is considered reciting it the true recitation. This one here is considered reciting it the true recitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِتَذَكَرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. That this is a book that we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مُبَارَكٌ, full of blessing. Full of blessing. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ, يعني يَا مُحَمَّد, مُبَارَكٌ. This is a book that we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, full of blessing. Full of blessing. The Quran is full of blessing. But why was it revealed? Full of blessing. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. In order for them to ponder and reflect over its verses. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And so that the people of sound understanding may take admonition and take heed and benefit from the warning. And benefit from the لِيَتَذَكَّرَ يَنِي يَتَّعِذِ. So that they take a warning. They take an admonition. So it's not just words that are recited. It's not just words that are recited. No doubt from the barakah of the Quran that a person he has 10 rewards for the recitation of one letter. That he has many rewards and blessing from the recitation of one letter. But the true barakah and the true cure and the true benefit and the true reason for the revelation of the Quran is so that one could ponder over and reflect. He could read it and ponder over and reflect and benefit and apply it in his life. And apply it in his life. It's been narrated by our mother Aisha radiallahu anha that she was asked about khuluq al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about his manners. What was the manners of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She said, كان خلقه القرآن. His manners were the Qur'an sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning that كان يتمر بأوامره وينتهي عن نواهيه. Meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to implement in his life the obligations. He would comply to them and apply them in his life, and he'd avoid and stay away from the prohibitions. What Allah orders and commands in His book, obligatory or recommending, he would apply them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What Allah forbade in His book and made impermissible or disliked, he would turn away from it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until now, it's considered his manners are the Qur'an, because he's using it as a light and a guide. He's following it, believing in it, following it, applying it in one's life. Applying it in one's life. This is such a great benefit. Imam al-Ajuri rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 360, and he from the Salaf, and from those who used to narrate the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with chain of narration. And so he's from the scholars of hadith. He's from the scholars of hadith, and from riwayah, the narrators of hadith, rahimahullah, great scholar of the sunnah. Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Hussein al-Ajuri rahimahullah ta'ala, he has many works. One of them is called Akhlaq Hamalat al-Quran, the manners of the carriers of the Quran. And those who are truly carrying the Qur'an, those people who are reciting it the true recitation, they have manners and etiquettes that they're known by. They have manners and etiquettes, adab and akhlaq, that is seen on them and it's known by way of them that person, he's a carrier of the Qur'an. That person, he's truly a person of the sunnah. That person, he's truly, what is apparent from him outwardly is that he's upon the way of the salaf, haqqan. And these people, they have conduct and they have manners. From the manners of the carriers of the Qur'an is what he mentions in this work, and I read what he says about this issue. He says, أَلَا تَرَوْنَا رَحِمَكُمَ اللَّهُ إِلَى مَوْلَاكُمَ الْكَرِيمِ كَيْفَ يُحُثُّ خَلْقَهُ عَلَى أَنْ يَتَدَبَّرُوا كَلَامَهُ كَيْفَ يُحُثُّ خَلْقَهُ عَلَى أَنْ يَتَدَبَّرُوا كَلَامَهُ. Do not see, may Allah have mercy on you, that your noble Lord, how He is encouraging His creation, encouraging the people to ponder and to reflect over His words. وَمَنْ تَدَبَّرَ كَلَامَهُ عَرَفَ الرَّبِّ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And whoever ponders over the words of Allah, he will know his Lord. Whoever ponders over the words of Allah, he will know his Lord. And knowing your Lord is the first means to purify your soul, as we have seen. Knowing your Lord is the first means to purify your soul, as we have seen. At-tawheed is two types. At-tawheed al-ilmi wal-amali. At-tawheed al-ilmi wal-amali. To know Allah and to worship Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's telling us, the one who ponders and reflects over the words of Allah, he will know his Lord. He will know his Lord. The greatest favor and greatest blessing is to know Allah. The most sweetest delight and joy in this life and in the hereafter is to know Allah. To know Him by His beautiful names and His lofty attributes of perfection. And to know Him by His signs and His creation and by His deen and legislation and law. To know Him by way of submission and surrender and worship of Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's telling us, so whoever ponders and reflects over the words of Allah azza wa jal, he will know his Lord. وَعَرَفَ عَظِيمَ سُلْطَانِهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ. And he'll also know the great authority and power of his Lord. وَعَرَفَ عَظِيمَ تَفَضُّلِهِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And at the same time, he will also know the great virtue that He has given to the believers. And the one who ponders over the Quran, he will realize this affair. The great blessing of sending the book and the revelation, and the great blessing likewise that Allah has guided us to be from the people of the Quran and from the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from those who love the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum and the scholars after them. He will realize this affair. This is a great blessing. He said, وَعَرَفَ مَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ فَرْضِ عِبَادَتِهِ فَأَلْزَمَ نَفْسُهُ الْوَاجِبِ. And at this time likewise, he will realize what is upon him from the obligation of worshipping Allah alone, and he will make himself hold fast to the obligation. فَحَذِرَ مِمَّا حَذَّرَهُ مَوْلَاهُ الْكَرِيمُ. And therefore he will be cautious and aware from that which his Lord, his noble Lord, has warned him from, which is the prohibitions. And he says, وَرَغِبَ فِيمَا رَغَبَهُ فِيهِ. And then he will have desire and hope in that which Allah has encouraged to do, yani in performing the good and the righteous deeds. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هَذِهِ صِفَتَهُ عِنْدَ تِلَاوَتِهِ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَعِنْدَ إِسْتِمَاعِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ كَانَ الْقُرْآنُ لَهُ شِفَاءً فَاسْتَغْنَى بِلَا مَالٍ وَعَزَّ بِلَا عَشِيرَةٍ وَأَنِسَ بِمَا يَسْتَوْحِشُ مِنْهُ غَيْرُهُ وَكَانَ هَمُّهُ عِنْدَ تِلَاوَتِهِ لِلسُّورَةِ إِذَا افْتَتَحَهَا مَتَى أَتَعِذْ بِمَا أَتْرُو. He mentions here, so the one who has this characteristic and trait, whenever he's reciting the Quran, and whenever he's listening to it being recited from somebody else, then in this manner the Quran will be a cure for him, and he will be sufficed, and he will be self-sufficient and rich, full of wealth without any money, and he will be powerful and strong and noble without any tribesmen. He will find comfort and peace in that which the rest of the people become lonely with. And he says, and his concern at the time of recitation for a chapter should be that whenever he opens the recitation, that he says to himself, مَتَ أَتَعِذُ بِمَا أَتْلُو. When am I going to take an admonition from what I recite? وَلَمْ يُكُمْ مُرَادُهُ مَتَ أَخْتِمُ السُّورَةِ. And his intention is not, when am I going to finish the chapter? So he's given us the keys. Whenever we open the book of Allah, we want to recite a chapter. What is the intention? When am I going to benefit? When am I going to understand? When is it going to go in my heart and affect me? When is it going to change my life? When am I going to leave off the sins? When am I going to stop disobeying my Lord? When is the Quran going to be a light for me? This is his intention. When am I going to benefit and understand what Allah is mentioning in his book? When am I going to benefit from the guidance of the Quran? Not, when am I going to finish the chapter? When does the chapter come to an end? When is the juice over? And the likes like this. This is not how to approach the Quran. Whether you approach the Quran believing that it's a book of guidance from the Lord of the worlds, and you're hoping to benefit from the guidance. So he says, وَإِنَّمَا مَرَادُهُ مَتَى أَعْقِلْ عَنِ اللَّهِ الْخِطَابِ وَمَتَى أَزْدَجِرْ وَمَتَى أَعْتَبِرْ لِأَنَّ تِلَاوَتُهُ لِلْقُرْآنِ عِبَادَةً وَالْعِبَادَةُ لَا تَكُونُ بِغَفْلَةٍ وَاللَّهُ الْمُوَفِّقُ. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. So he says that rather his intention whenever he says, when will I understand the address from Allah and the meaning of these words? When am I going to take a reprimand? When am I going to benefit and take admonition? Because the recitation of the Quran is worship, and worship is not accepted with heedlessness. And he referring to the fact that if a person is reading the book of Allah heedlessly without reflecting and trying to benefit, hoping to understand, hoping to benefit, hoping to see guidance, hoping to find his own faults and errors and mistakes, hoping to be a means for him to repent and to go straight. If he doesn't have this intention and this ideas in his heart whenever he's reciting, then he's heedless in his recitation. And the Quran, reciting the Quran is an act of worship, and actions of worship will not be accepted from those who are heedless. We've seen that in the previous class with regards to the dua. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Udu Allah wa antum muqinun bil ijaba wa a'lamu anna Allah la yastajibu du'an min qalbin ghafilin la." That Allah, he does not accept the dua, the supplication, the worship from a heart that is heedless and negligent, preoccupied with the worldly life. So reciting the Quran, it must be in this manner. A person, he will open the book of Allah hoping to benefit, hoping to understand, hoping to reflect, hoping to ponder. Even if a person, he doesn't know the Arabic language, let him read the Arabic, and likewise along with that, read the English translation by Muhsin Khan and Taqiyyuddin al-Hilali, the one which is known as Noble Quran. Let him suffice with that translation. But he can benefit likewise in this manner, reading a page and then reading the translation and reflecting. Or sometimes a person just listen. He can listen. And also from the benefits, you can find some particular channels where they'll play the Quran and they'll have the translation there for you. And you can listen and watch and read in English. For those who don't understand Arabic yet, and the heart, and the meanings can go in the heart, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, for those who are truthful. For those who are truthful and they believe in Allah, and they believe in His book, and they hope with their heart from His reward and guidance. So they hope in their heart to be guided, and to have the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَصْغَى إِلَى كَلَامِ اللَّهِ وَكَلَامِ رَسُولِهِ بِعَقْلِهِ وَتَدَبَّرَهُ بِقَلْبِهِ وَجَدَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْفَهْمِ وَالْحَلَاوَةِ وَالْبَرَكَةِ وَالْمَنْفَعَةِ مَا لَا يَجِدُهُ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ لَا مَنْظُومِهِ وَلَا مَنْثُورِهِ. Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned that whoever listens attentively to the words of Allah and to the words of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his intelligence, and he reflects and ponders with his heart, he will find an understanding and a sweetness and a blessing and benefit in that speech, that which he will not find in the speech of anybody else. That which he will not find in the speech of anybody else. And the point is now that he's mentioning this affair in the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who reads it with his intelligence, with his heart. He's pondering, reflecting with his mind and with his heart. He's hoping to benefit. He will find an understanding of life. Of life, he will find an understanding, a reality, the truth about life and this whole existence. He will find that, and he will find a sweetness. And you'll find a sweetness in these words and in this recitation, in this reading, that which you will not find anywhere else. And likewise, a benefit and blessing. Benefit and blessing. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he mentioned, Hafidhullah, وَقِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ دُونَ فَهْمِ مَعَانِيهِ أَوْ الْأَمْرِ بِمَا جَاءَ فِيهِ لَا تُعَدُّ تِلَاوَةً بِحَقٍّ. He mentioned, Hafidhullah, that reading the Qur'an without understanding the meanings or applying it is not considered reciting the book in truth. It's not considered reciting the book in truth. He's not really reciting the book. He does not understand the meanings, nor does he apply it. Then he's not considered truly reciting the book. He's not considered truly reciting the book. He says, وَلِذَا يَقُولُ الْفُضَيْرِ بْنُ عِيَاضٍ وَلِذَا يَقُولُ الْفُضَيْرِ بْنُ عِيَاضٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. He said, for this reason, الْفُضَيْرِ ibn عِيَاضٍ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, from the Atba'i Tabi'in, he died in the year 187. رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, he says, إِنَّمَا نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنُ لِيُعْمَلَ بِهِ فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ قِرَاءَتَهُ عَمَلًا. That the Qur'an was only revealed in order to be applied. And the people had taken its recitation as its application. Meaning they had sufficed with reciting the Qur'an as an application. As an application. Likewise, it's been narrated from Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, from the Tabi'in. He died in 110. He said a similar statement. إِنَّمَا نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنُ لِيُتَدَبَّرَ وَلِيُعْمَلَ بِهِ. That the Qur'an was only revealed in order to be pondered and reflected over and to be applied. And to be applied. This is the wisdom from the revelation of the Qur'an. That a person, he'll read it, he'll reflect upon it, he'll understand it, he'll believe in it, and he'll follow it in his life. And he'll follow it in his life. So the Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Abdul Razak, وَإِذَا أَكْرَمَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَبْدَهُ بِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ وَتَدَبُّرِهِ وَمُجَاهَدَةِ النَّفْسِ عَلَى الْأَمْرِ بِهِ نَالَ مِنَ التَّزْكِيَةِ أَوْفَرَ النَّصِيبِ. Whenever Allah Azza wa Jal, He honors a person. He honors a person with the recitation of the Qur'an. And he's somebody who now has time to recite and read the book of Allah. And to ponder and reflect over the Qur'an. And to strive against his soul to apply it in his life. Then in this manner, this person, he will obtain purification in the greatest manner. He will obtain purification in the greatest manner. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.